I watched both. I just want to say that I watched both of my god sisters' presentations from home, and they were great. I mean, Moksha Lakshmi was giving so much evidence about how Prabhupada was predicted in so many ways to come and come to this world and deliver, you know, millions. And then Vishakha Prabhu just, you know, most of what we're going to see today is because of Yadobar and Vishakha Prabhu's, who filmed these amazing clips. I know some of you have seen these clips before. I'm sure you've seen most of them. But I'm going to ask you to pay attention to certain things. And we could maybe put the lights down now. Yeah. Thank you. So I want you to observe some things as you watch this first video. I want you to notice Prabhupada's cadence, means the speed at which he delivers things, how he uses silence, and how he uses pauses. And you don't hear a lot of uhs, and you know, you just hear him thinking carefully about how he's going to say the next thing. Also notice his gestures, how he actually demonstrates what he's talking about through his gestures. And we'll talk a little bit about it after the clip, a little bit more. So, let's start. Again, I got the sound a little louder. Oh, this is the...
You are sitting here. If you
that's
sit
too far
here,
ahead. You skipped
that. What does that mean?
Go back to the beginning.
You are sitting. Opportunity is lost.
Do you not know how to... Title 3, I think, isn't it? I don't know. Who's operating this? You've got to go to playback. This is not. Sorry.
Thank you.
So what's happened?
It's frozen.
The laptop's frozen.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I suppose I should have guessed something like this might happen. It was very smooth yesterday. Huh? Oh, sorry. We went through this last night and it went very smoothly, but I don't know what happened. You go to playback. If you go to playback, then listen to Rohan here. Okay.
So, past, present, future.
That's all right. That's the beginning.
You exist. The body changes. Is it not clear?
That's That's clear.
Yeah. So therefore, the conclusion that when he will not have this body, he will have another body. You are sitting here. If you don't sit here, you go. That does not mean you are sitting, opportunity is lost. You are sitting here, you sit somewhere. Similarly, the change of body is going on. Therefore, the conclusion is that after you give up this body, you will have another body, as you have already done. What is the difficulty to understand?
The seeming difficulty is that one, while the body is different from that of a bull.
Different body must be different, therefore that is called change of body. Unless it is a different body, where is the change?
The memory is there, the bull, and or the spirit is there.
The memory, sometimes we may not remember. Just like this child, he may not have memory when he was very small, but you have got memory. You know, when he was a small child, you are doing something, or he was playing with some cats and dogs, but he does not remember that. But you remember it. So, simply because he has forgotten, does that mean that the incidences were not present? So this argument is not very strong, because I cannot remember. You do not remember so many things. But the fact is this, that you are changing from this body to this body to this body. Therefore, the conclusion should be, after this body, I will accept another body. And that's the fact. As you have accepted in this life, from one body to another body, there is a process how to accept it. Similarly, under the same process, you accept another body when this body is no longer useful. Just like at night, you give up this body, you take your subtle body and you go somewhere. You are sleeping in your room, but you are working in a different place. Don't you do that? So, because this body is still useful, therefore you come to back again this body, and in the morning you wake up with this body. So death means when this body is useless, you do not come to this body, you accept another body. This is called death. That subtle body takes you from this body to the womb of another mother by nature's direction, that this soul shall get this kind of body. So the soul is entered in the womb of another mother's body, and then the body is prepared by the mother's blood and flesh, and when the body is sufficiently capable of working itself, then it comes down, comes again, and begins its work. This is birth and death. The soul is eternal. Therefore, a sober man should think So why should I change my body? Why this trouble I shall take? That is human sense. When if I am eternal, why not my eternal body? Eternal existence, why shall I die? This is human sense. Unless one comes to this understanding, he is animal. Because animal, by nature's law, is going on. He does not know. Then a human form of body, when he understands that I'll have to change this body, I'll have to get another body, then the question is, what kind of body I shall get? That is human intelligence. By nature's way, we are getting body, but that is on the selection of the nature according to my work. If I walk like animal, I get animal body. If I walk as demigod, I get demigod body. If I act as trees, then you get tree body. If you act like dog, you get dog's body. Nature's way. Therefore you find so many varieties of body. This philosophy does not appeal.
You can pause it there. Pause it? Yeah. So, let's see if you paid attention. Yeah. No, that's okay. So, what did Prabhupada say was a weak argument? Oh, I say no. Do we have a live microphone we can pass around, or is that? Maybe you can just speak loudly for now.
Memory? Said that I can't remember a previous point. Prabhupada said that.
It's a weak argument because someone can't remember what they did as a child, a young boy.
Yeah, just because you don't remember is not an argument. Because we don't remember so many things. He was making that point. There's so many things you don't remember. That was one point that I thought was really nice. What about the gestures? What did you notice Prabhupada did with his gestures? What are some of the things you noticed? Anyone? Yeah, but what was he indicating? I don't know if you noticed it, but he was making a motion when he was talking about the soul moving into another body. He was going like this. He was actually demonstrating it in a physical way. He was making this motion. And the way he exhibited what the insignificance, in a sense, of birth and death. Do you remember what he did? He went like this. Like, it's nothing, just this is common. And also the fact that he said, in describing this process, he said, it's a fact. If you notice, he doesn't quote a lot of Shastra, he just gives logic about the change of bodies, how we're constantly changing bodies. That's happening all the time. And I thought that the way he concluded his presentation, he said, does this philosophy not appeal? Now, why do you think he said that? He's speaking to a specific person there. This is one of the things filmed by Vishak and Yadubar. It was in New Vrindavan. And I know the devotee, I can't remember his name because it's so long ago, but he was there before he joined. He did join. And he had a son there with him. And he's speaking to him specifically. So then he says, does this philosophy not appeal? Why do you think he asked that? It's almost like a rhetorical. I would say it's because he was relishing it so much. Just describing the science of transmigration. That he would, it was almost like in surprise, like if he didn't get a favorable response, he would say, doesn't this philosophy appeal? Well, he's always pointing to our lack of intelligence. I think he's not directly pointing to our lack of intelligence, but if it doesn't appeal, he was saying, in a sense, too, yeah, that he must not be very intelligent. If this philosophy doesn't appeal, then... But he was being kind at the same time. He was being very kind. He was humbly raising that question. What I've just said, doesn't that appeal to you? It's very personal. His exchanges... And this is a situation in which he's just sitting with a group of devotees and a would-be devotee and just very casually explaining in detail the process of transmigration, you know. So, and I have to say that in this particular one we just watched, I really, having been in Prabhupada's association in Darshan, this, the way he is there, I don't know how to put it exactly, but that's what it was like to be with Prabhupada. He spoke slowly. He spoke logically. He spoke very personally. And I think you can get a real feeling for what it was like to sit with him and hear him speak in a more informal way. Okay, now, that was... are we ready with the next one? This is title 4, chapters 4. Wow, I think it's going to work. Full screen and subtitle.
So if you are theologians, then you must know what is God and abide by God.
Can you pause this? Can you pause it? Yeah. So this is an interesting... Prabhupada's meeting with some theologians, but at the beginning he calls them theologicians, which you could take it almost like he's, for lack of a better word, like he's almost like he's goofing on them. Because he's calling them logicians, people that are trying to be logical about God. In other words, speculative. And now you'll notice in this particular, this is a little bit lengthier than the other one. He's kind of challenging them. He's really almost taking them to task for being phonies, almost, you know, for being not serious. So anyway, let's go on. Proceed. One other thing. The main person he's addressing here is Stilson Judah, Dr. Stilson Judah, who was worked at the Berkeley, California Theological Union. So he's quite a recognized person. And he wrote a book called Hare Krishna and the Counterculture, in which he very favorably describes Prabhupada, and they became good friends. They used to go on morning walks with Prabhupada. Okay, that's a little background. Are you ready?
What do you think, Dr. Judah?
Pardon?
What do you think, his proposition?
Yes, well, I think you're quite right. I think that it is certainly in our day and age, many of us don't really know God.
Then he's not theologist. He's theosophical.
We know about God, but we do not know God. I would agree.
That is theosophy. Theosophy is they're thinking there is something superior. But who is that superior? They're searching. The same thing. A boy, he knows I have a father. But who is my father at that age? But that you have to ask. Alone, he cannot understand. Now, our proposition is that if you do not know God, and here is God, Krishna, why don't you accept him?
He paused it.
You do not accept him.
Now, just see, within a few minutes, he's challenging them. He's quite serious, and you notice he becomes very, very grave and uses silence very effectively. Okay, go ahead.
And if I present here is God, then what?
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, did we hit another glitch? What's happening? I guess I shouldn't ask him to pause it.
Why don't you accept? You do not know, first of all.
Yeah.
And if I present. Here is God. Then why don't you accept? We are present in God. Here is God. And big acharyas have accepted. Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami.
Don't take any chances.
So if you are theologians, then you must know what is God and abide by God.
So we say, so you must know God. Or put them on the spot immediately.
What do you think, Dr. Judah?
Pardon?
What do you think, this proposition?
Yes, well, I think you're quite right. I think that it is certainly in our day and age, many of us don't really know God.
Then he's not theologist. He tears up.
We know about God, but we do not know God. I would agree.
That is theosophy. Theosophy is they're thinking there is something superior. But who is that superior? They're searching. The same thing. A boy, he knows I have a father. But who is my father at that age? That you have to ask him about. Alone, he cannot understand. So our proposition is that if you do not know God, and here is God, Krishna, why don't you accept it? You do not know, first of all. And if I present here is God, then why don't you accept it? What is the answer? We are presenting God, here is God. And big acharyas have accepted. Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and our disciple succession, my Guru Maharaj, and I am preaching, he is God. I am not presenting a God whimsical. I am presenting a God, he is recognized. So why don't you accept? What is the difficult?
I suppose one of the difficulties for certainly many in the older generation is that we follow certain patterns of life, and the
and we are not serious about God.
And it is difficult to change. This is the great problem.
That's what Krishna said.
Oh no. Oh, this is frustrating. Sorry. If it's the problem with the DVD, just wipe it up? Huh? Can you? Yeah, but they're not complete in many cases of the YouTube. So maybe are we going to be able to advance it, or just maybe we should just go to the next one then? Go to Title 5, Chapter 2. Then. Thank you. Well, I won't attempt this again. Can you go to, can you make it go to Title 5, Chapter 2? Now, this one is very brief, if we can get it. Apparently not. Well, patience and tolerance is a virtue, so you can practice it here. Well, he accused him of not being serious. Well, he had a sort of gravity, of course, that allowed for that sort of speaking. If we imitate it, we'll probably not get a good result. But he somehow, just by his presence, was able to influence them. They became like almost like children. How are we doing? Any hope? We can try it from YouTube, but they cut off part of the discussion, I think. But maybe not.
What do you think, Dr. Dugan?
Pardon?
What do you think, this proposition?
Yes, well, I think you're quite right. I think that it is certainly in our day and age, many of us don't really know God.
Then he's not theologist. He's theosophy.
We know about God, but we do not know God. I would agree.
That is theosophy. Theosophy is they're thinking there is something superior. But who is that superior? They're searching.
No, you have
the same thing. A boy, he knows I have a father. But
wrong
who is
language.
My father?
It's the first one, English.
That you have to ask his father. Alone, he cannot answer. Now, our proposition is that if you do not know God, and here is God, Krishna, why don't you accept it? You do not know, first of all.
Try to get the
If I present, here is God, then why don't you accept it? original. We are present in God. There is God.
Turn up the sound if possible.
And big, big acharyas have accepted. Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Krishna Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and our disciple successor, my Guru Maharaj, and I am preaching, he is God. I am not presenting a God, whimsical. I am presenting a God, he is recognized. So why don't you accept? What is it? Difficult.
I suppose one of the difficulties for certainly many in the older generation is that we follow certain patterns of life, and the
and we are not serious about God.
And it is difficult to change. This is the great problem.
Therefore, Krishna says, "Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sat." You have to give up. So if you are not prepared to give up, then you cannot accept God.
I think you're being a little unfair to Dr. Crossley. I think what you say is true, that it's the most important thing we can do is to seek and know God. But I don't think it's right to say that it's a bad thing to study how other people or how man has thought.
No, I don't say bad thing.
Yeah.
I say if you're serious about God, now, here is God.
That's what a university, in part, is for, to study about how people have thought on different matters.
I would say, if you are seeking after something, if you get that something, why don't you accept?
Do you believe that Christ said that Krishna was his father?
The name may be different. It's like in our country we say this flower something, we say something. Mm-hmm. But subject matter must be the same. Name is not. You can say any different as you understand. But God is one. God cannot be two. You may give him different names, that is different. But God is one. God cannot be two. You pay tax to the government, and the tax is distributed in so many departments. So it is not your business to go every department and pay tax. Pay to the treasury of the government, it will be distributed. This is intelligence. And if you say that why shall I pay to the treasury house? I shall pay this department, that department, that department, that department. You can go on. But it will never be sufficient. Neither complete. So you may love humanity, but because you do not love Krishna, therefore do not love the cows, you send them straight around. So your love will remain defective. It will never be complete. And if you love Krishna, then you love in the small ant. You're not interested in to kill him with an ant. That is real.
I agree with you that we love very badly, and we slaughter the animals.
So badly, love is not love.
But is the converse true, that we chant very well and that we can love Krishna even when we cannot love our fellow people?
We are chanting, we are also working. It is not that. We are simply sitting down and chanting. Because we are chanting, therefore we are loving everyone. That's a fact. These Hare Krishna chanters, they never agree to kill any animal, even a plant, because they know everything is part and parcel of God. Why unnecessarily one should be killed? That is love.
Love means never killing?
There are so many things. It is one of the items. Yes? That's one of them. Do you kill your own son? Why? Because you love him.
Would you explain the other side of it? The fact that, of course, the Bhagavad Gita has its setting on a battlefield in which Krishna enjoins Arjuna.
That killing and poor animal who is supplying milk, you are drinking milk, your mother, and you are killing. This killing and that killing is not the same thing. According to Vedic civilization, the cow is to be given special protection. Why? It is recommended for the cow. It does not say of other animals.
Srila Prabhupada, you are aware that they advance the argument of mesmerization against chanting.
That's good. That's good. If you can mesmerize, that is, Dr. Judah has admitted that you can mesmerize the drug addicted hippies and engage them in understanding Krishna, it's a great achievement.
It's not mesmerization.
Whatever it may be, Dr. Judah has admitted. So, if mesmerization is for good, why not accept it? If it is for bad, then it is anathema. If it is doing good, why not accept it? What do you think?
I don't know how to react. I think I agree with you.
If it is good, everything good should be accepted.
Problem. I keep wondering how you're so sure you know what good is, particularly when it comes to war. I would be a little more worried, I think, that...
What is that war?
Well, when you were telling that sometimes war is necessary, I should think that it's important to know how to decide when...
Well, unnecessary means you cannot expect in this material world all saintly persons. There are bad elements. So if a bad element comes to attack you, is it not your duty to fight and protect?
So it just may be, though, that mine are the bad elements, and I keep thinking that other people are the bad elements.
No.
That's right.
Even God has got this discrimination. He says, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkitam. There are bad elements. In God's mind, there is good element, bad element. So we are part and parcel of God. We must have also the same sentiment. We cannot avoid it.
The body is not divine.
Yeah.
He's saying that when we say everything is part of God, the body is an exception. He says the body then is an exception. The body is not part of God?
No. Why? Body is also part.
Yes, the body is also part.
Yeah, that's his arrangement.
Maya Shakti.
Yes, it is another energy.
I see.
Inferior energy.
Everything is God's energy. The body is also God's energy. The best use of the body is God's energy should be utilized for God. Then it is body spiritualized. Body is also God's energy. And if it is engaged in God's service, then the body is no more bad bargain. It is a good bargain.
Now, I was going to have a little discussion on this, but I think because we've used so much time just trying to get the technology together, I'm going to have to skip it, unfortunately. It's a very interesting discussion because Prabhupada covered so many points, but I think one very important point, though, I will mention, he talks about, you know, sometimes people are very reluctant to distinguish good and bad. And they think, oh, that's all subjective. They'll make the argument that it's all subjective, distinguishing between good and bad. But Prabhupada's point is, citing this verse, paritaranaya sadunam vinashaya chadiskritam, that Krishna talks about protecting the devotees and annihilating the miscreants. So he said even God has this discrimination. Who's behaving according to Dharma and who's not. So that was, I think, a very nice and important point. Let's see if we can go to the next. Is it going to be possible? Of course, I don't know. Am I supposed to stop exactly 8:30 because I'm already over time? Can we keep? If you're interested, please stay. If you're not interested, that's okay. I understand. You got other things to do. But Title 5, Chapter 2, we want to. This is fairly brief. But it's a great, important argument that Prabhupada gives a logic. He gives a statement in logic, which is very powerful. You can use it in preaching. The title of this whole presentation was Prabhupada as a Preacher, how he preached to different groups, different persons at different times. So if we can find the next section, that's Title 5. Chapter 2. Is that supposed to be plugged in there? The plug is not there. Who knows, we might get through this. Huh? Yeah, we can have the... Yeah, that's a good idea, while we're waiting. I thought it was interesting when Judah gave a sort of lame excuse that, well, we're part of the older generation. And so, therefore, we can't change our old habits. And Prabhupada very simply says, you're not serious. So right from the beginning, he's challenging them. Why don't you accept God? You know, greatest spiritual, you know, authorities have said that, you know, because he cites so many, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and then my Guru Maharaj, and I'm presenting the same thing. So he's saying that it's very authoritative what I'm telling you. Why don't you accept it? And he sort of sticks on that point. You know, sometimes Prabhupada used to use the expression that in arguing with someone, he would find the weak point in their argument and press on it until they die. So in one sense, he keeps pressing. Why don't you accept it? If you're serious, you want to know God, then... why don't you take this? You actually want to know. So he makes that point strongly. Now, how did... Okay. He also was talking about cow killing. Where did that come from? How did he lead into that? Anyone notice? Huh?
And that if we love God, then why do we kill animals? So parts and parcels of God.
And that's his point, that God is loving everyone, everything. So why are you singling out some from being killed? And obviously he was pointing out it as a defect in their philosophy. You support slaughterhouses, he said. You support slaughterhouses. So, and then when a professor admits that... that we're loving badly, and Prabhupada said, badly love is not love. So if you love badly, that's not love. Simple point in logic. But also he talked about how by chanting we love everyone. What is your understanding of this? What do you mean by chanting we're loving everyone? How is that loving everyone? Come on. You have to pass the microphone.
Because requesting for service, and the service can only happen if there is love in the heart.
Well, okay, I accept it. It helps if there's love. What about at our stage where we're trying to love? Is that good enough?
Yeah, because there is an endeavor.
Yes.
So the endeavor is definitely...
Thank you.
Yeah, recognize.
Yeah, that's the point, that you're trying to develop love. You're sincerely practicing, so you're hoping that it will result in love. So that is the love in the beginning and ultimately in the end. That is the real... Now, there was a kind of a challenge about Kurukshetra. Does everybody remember what it was? Anyone? What was the challenge about Kurukshetra? Oh, look, we got one person answering all the questions. Oh, no, here we go, someone else. Okay.
The scholar is challenging Prabhupada because earlier Prabhupada said that it's not okay to kill animals, but in this time he's saying that, or he's the scholar is referring to the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna is telling Arjuna to kill the enemies. So the scholar is challenging Prabhupada, why should we kill the enemies and not kill the cows?
Right, so that was the challenge. Can you give him the mic?
He also asked Prabhupada, who is to decide whether to go to war or not?
Yeah, one of the professors was challenging that. How do you know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy? So how did Prabhupada reply to that? How did he reply? He replied with the verse... Yes, Puritananaya Sarunam, that even Krishna, has this discrimination between good and bad. Okay, are we ready? Oh, I thought, no? Oh, false alarm. Okay, we don't have any sound, no?
Condition, souls, qualification. That he is a fool, he thinks other fools.
No. No, it starts. You were on the right thing. You just had gone ahead a bit. It's Title 5, Chapter 2. Title 5.
They also say that no one can ever be pure, that everyone is doomed to be
well,
a sinner.
That is atmavat mannate jagat. That is the conditioned soul's qualification, that he is a fool, he thinks other fools. Everyone, he thinks he is like me. That is nature. Atmavat mannate jagat. Everyone thinks others like himself. If he's a fool, he thinks all are. So these things are no argument. Nobody has seen God. How do you take these statistics? Can you say like that, any statistics that nobody has? Maybe you have not seen him or has seen God. That is quite possible because you have not studied all the men of the world.
Yes.
Then how you can say nobody has seen? You have not seen the man who has seen him.
So the man...
He will not admit his fault. He will accuse others. Nobody has seen God. Why? You may not have seen, but why you say nobody has seen? You have not seen that person who has seen God. Therefore you say like that.
Next one. I'm going to comment very briefly on that. Just that this argument is extremely important to use in preaching. Someone who takes the atheistic position that no one has seen God, so therefore we don't accept. It's a very shallow argument, insubstantial, because you may not have seen, but what about... Let's talk about the person who has seen. Now, of course, you could argue that you can dispute that. I don't believe him. That's another thing. But his point is that it's not a strong argument to say there's no God on the basis of what? What statistics do you have? Have you scrutinizingly studied everyone in the world? There is a person who has seen God. And, of course, Prabhupada is taking that position. Okay, so now we're going to go to... Yes, please. But give him the microphone. Quickly. Help him.
Teacher recently said to me, your godbrother, about... It was up in Scotland. He was, again, have you seen God? Was the same question, and he said that it was a woman who was asking the question. He says, "Have you seen God?" And she said, "No." Then he put the other question to her: "Do you want to see God?" And she said, "No."
Yes. So there's the deficiency.
Yeah. Therefore, you cannot see God.
So it depends on desire and depends on good fortune. So now, are we all right to go to the next Title 5, Chapter 5? We have to go to playback again. We'll go to Chapter 5.
But unfortunately, I am thinking this is American pension pleasure. This is Indian pension. Pension pleasure is the same.
Yeah.
It is neither American nor African. pains and pleasures is the same. So, as soon as this consciousness that I am feeling American pains, American pleasure, as soon as this is over, then we come to the original consciousness. Because consciousness cannot be American or African. If I pinch you, the pain felt by you is the same when I pinch the African.
Yes.
So therefore the consciousness is the same. Artificially, we are thinking that American consciousness, African consciousness. Actually, that is not the position. Simply, this misunderstanding has to be cleared up. That is called Chetadarpanamarjana. Is it not a fact?
Oh, yes, sure.
The consciousness of feeling pains and pleasure, can it be American or Indian?
No.
It is the same. Artificially, we are thinking it is American pain or it is Indian pain. That is artificial. This artificial covering has to be removed. Then you come to Krishna consciousness. Feelings, consciousness is not American, African or Indian. Consciousness is the same. When you feel hungry, is that Americans feel a different way, hungry? The African feels in a different way. The hungry appetite is the same. Now if you say there is American appetite and this is Indian appetite, that is artificial. So when you do not go to the artificial platform, that is Krishna consciousness. That is explained in Narad Pancharatra. Sarvapadhi vininmuktam tatparatena nirmanam. Rishikena rishikesa sevanam bhaktirishchat. When we become free from these artificial designations, American consciousness, Indian consciousness, African consciousness, there is no such thing. This is artificial. Even bird and beast, they also feel consciousness, pains and pleasure. Just like when there is scorching heat, you feel some pain. Is that American, Indian or African? Scorching heat is every feeling. If you say that I am feeling scorching heat American way, क्यों जी
हाँ जी
ऐसा हो सकता है
नहीं हो
सकता ये तो simply these are artificial and everything is depending on consciousness everything depending on consciousness therefore Krishna consciousness is the original standard
the big
hold it there Just brief. I know that this is taking a long time. I didn't plan it this way, but thank you for staying. I just wanted to point out that what is the important verse that Prabhupada cites about this topic of the designated sort of consciousness, American or Indian or whatever, African? Yes. So this is an important verse that is, it comes from Narada Pancharatra, and it is cited in the in so many places. It's cited in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it's cited in the Madhya Lila 19th chapter. So this is a very important point that in preaching, this verse about designation, black, white, Indian, woman, man, all these are designations based on the body. So Prabhupada's just making this point in a very simple way. trying to get the... And this is the point that he tries to get across over and over again. So, it's a nice point. We'll go on now. Oh, you have... let's see now. I don't know. I'll try to finish by 9. We'll see if we can do it. This next section is a professor called John Mize, who was a philosophy professor. And this is part of a very long discussion. After the class, I've got copies of my book in which the whole conversation is repeated. But anyone who wants a copy, by the way, can have it. It's my gift to you, of this book about Prabhupada that I wrote a few years ago. And I hope you'll take one if you're interested. This professor wants to know about the fall of the jiva. So this is only part of the conversation, but the full conversation is there in the book if you're interested, how Prabhupada presents this topic. Okay, I think we can start. Go ahead.
Yeah, see, 747 is flying because the pilot is there. And the pilot is a soul, powered by another bodily machine. That is missing point in modern civilization. Because who is working with the machine? That they do not know. That is ignorance. It is said, you see, Bhagavad Gita. Ishara sarvabhutanam riddesu arjuna tishtati. Brahman sarvabhutani jantraru rani maya. Jantra means machine. Actually they're friendly. They're a big, nice machine, computer. Without an operator it does not work. And this huge machine is working without any spiritual touch. Let's see how foolishness. They think automatically what? Nature is working automatically. Do they not think?
They think there's a mind, but not a soul.
No, that's all right. Something is there which is working. Now that may be mistake. You call it soul and mind. That is next understanding. But the machine is not working independently. That should be understood first. Then how the machine is working, that is the next chapter. So they have no understanding even how the machine is working. Mura nabhijanati mamebha paramabhyam. Maya dakshina prakriti, syate sacharas. That they do not know, muras. So if you do not know how the machine is working, then what is the value of your education? Education means enlightenment. You do not know what is the final cause. The huge body is working. As nature, so many planets, so many big planets like sun, moon that are floating in the air. And who has made this arrangement? There we see every day. And everyone is speculating. It is being done like this. Another philosopher comes, he does, it is like this. Another said, it is like this. Nasum nijasamatam na bhinnam. A philosopher is not a great philosopher if he does not defy the other philosopher. Is it not? So this process is going on. I defy you, you defy me, that's all. But what is the real fact? Neither you know, neither I know.
But we write big, big articles. That is going. Just like this finger is part and parcel of my body. Whatever I am ordering, it is immediately carrying out. I say, make it like this, it will do. So, but this is dead matter. It is acting mechanically. The brain directs immediately the finger and attack, like machine. This whole body is just like machine. But soul is not machine, mechanical part. It is spiritual part. So therefore, as I am directing the finger, as being machine it is working. But if somebody else, a friend or servant, I may direct him to do something, he may not do it. So when the soul misuses the independence, then he falls down. That is material life. Material life means misusing the independence of soul. Just like a son's duty is to obey the father. But he may not obey. That is his madness. So when this soul, misusing the independence, becomes mad, he is sent in this material world.
It's puzzling to me that one would be so foolish.
Because by independence you can become foolish. Otherwise there is no meaning of independence. Independence means you can do whatever you like. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that yathaichchasi tatha kuru. Find out this verse in the 18th chapter. That independence is there. After instructing the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, Krishna gave him the independence. Now, whatever you like, you can do. Krishna never forced him to accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. He gave him the independence. Now, whatever you like, you can do. And he agreed. Yes, now my illusion is over. I shall act, as you say. The same independence, yeah?
Which is in the 18th chapter.
Thus I have explained to you the most, like these Sanskrit.
Yeah.
Iti te jnanam akhyatam guya guyataram maya virishyaitar asheshena yate chasi tatha kuru. Thus I have explained to you the most confidential of all knowledge. Deliberate on this fully, and then do what you wish to do.
Yeah. Now, if you say, why this whole should become so foolish? So that is misuse of independence. An intelligent father has got intelligent son, but sometimes he becomes a fool. So, what is the reason that he is this part and parcel of the father? He should have become exactly like the father, but he does not become like the father. I have seen in Allahabad, the big lawyer, barrister, Mr. Banerjee. His eldest son was also a barrister, and his youngest son, on account of bad association, he became a kawala, Ekala means, in India, there is a carriage drawn by one horse. So, he liked to be an Ekala. That means he fell in love with a low-class woman, and by her association, he became an Ekala. There are many instances. Therefore, it is the duty of the human being how to control the mind, not act like cats and dogs. That is human being. He should be inquisitive. Why this happening? Why this happening? And he should take education. That is human life. And if he does not inquire, if he does not take education, then what is the difference between him and the dog? He remains a dog. He has got this opportunity of human life. He should take advantage of understanding what is what. Not to keep himself in the dog status. Simply eating, sleeping, sex life and defending. That is the distinction between dog and human being. If he does not become inquisitive, how to control the mind? He is not even human being. And dog never inquires. Dog knows that when I bark, people become disturbed. He will never ask how to control this barking habit. Because he is dog. He cannot do that. A human being, people hate me, I do something wrong, I have to control my mind. That is human. That is the difference between human being and dog. Therefore, basic injunction is, go and inquire. You have got this human form of life. Athātha brahma jigyāsa. Now this is the time for inquiring about the soul. Tad vijñānārtham sa gurumeva abhiyacche. If you want to understand this science, then go to proper guru and take lessons from him. The same thing as we instruct our children, if you want to be educated in the higher status of life, go to school, go to college, take lessons. That is human society. The dog's father will never ask the dog, child, go to school. No, the dog.
Thank you for, you're all, I think you're great soldiers to go through this. Now, this is another one, more short one, and then we'll stop. It's title 6, chapter 6. Title 6.
Well, title by the tailor, according to the body, made a covering of this hand, and this looks like a hand. This covering of the chest looks like a chest. Therefore, the impersonal means the material covering. Otherwise, spirit soul is personal. Mr. You go to the tailor. According to your body, the tailor will cut a coat. This coat, ingredients are the coat, the cloth, that is impersonal. But it is made like a person, covering of the person. In other words, the spirit soul is person. As much as God is also person. In person means the covering. Try to understand. The covering is impersonal, not the living being who is covered. He is not impersonal. He is personal. Very simple example. The coat shirt is impersonal. But the man who is putting on coat on, he is not impersonal. He is personal. So, how God can be impersonal? The material energy is impersonal. That is explained. That is explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat abhaktam urdhvam. This jagat is abhaktam, impersonal. And that is also energy of Krishna. Therefore he says, I am expanded in the impersonal form. That impersonal feature is Krishna's energy. So the material covering is impersonal. But the spirit soul or the super soul is personal. Any question in this? This very intricate question. Anyone?
Okay. Thank you very much. I couldn't do what I wanted to do, but nevertheless, at least you got some association with Prabhupada for a little while. Thank you.